This meeting is now being recorded.
This is Elliot Schoenberg from the Joint Placement Commission, the International Director of Placement. I'd like to welcome you all, and I'd like to introduce Kathy Elias of the United Synagogue, District Administrator of the Mid-Atlantic Region, who will be hosting our call today. Kathy.
Yes. Hi. I would like to, for those of you who are new calling into Mocha Mondays, I'd like to tell you a little bit about how this works. We, and those of you who have called in before, you understand that we usually get around 30 to 40 people who call into the call, so I apologize right now for not asking any more who has joined the call, because people, you'll hear them continuing to call in for the next couple of minutes. We have two individuals with us today. Our topic is saying goodbye to the outgoing rabbi, and the two individuals who are our guests on the call today represent both ends of the spectrum. We have a rabbi who did retire, and we have an immediate past president who experienced a rabbi leaving. And the way our calls work is generally we have time in the beginning for each of our guests to tell their story, and we'll ask you to hold your questions until each of the guests have told their story. But we'll ask you to write down your questions as they occur to you. Then we open it up to the group. The call usually takes between 30 and 45 minutes. We're always done at 1 o'clock. So that's the explanation of what we'll be doing for about the next 30 to 40 minutes. Our two guests today are Rabbi Emeritus Sheldon Lewis, who is from Kol Emeth in Palo Alto, California, and Jane Greenberg, who is immediate past co-president of Tiferet Bet Israel in Bluebell, Pennsylvania. And I'm going to ask Rabbi Lewis to speak first. Rabbi, can you kind of tell us what your experience was as a rabbi who was retiring?
Yes, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be a part of this this call, my first time on Mocha Monday. And I am happy to reflect on this. I came to my congregation, Kol Emeth, in 1973, so I was there for 33 years before my retirement in 2006. So it's actually been about 5 years, and so details, I ask your forbearance in advance after 5 years. Some of the details perhaps are eroding a little bit, but it has been obviously a very important and actually, I must say, a successful transition, I think, from the active rabbinate to actually a very active retirement, but in different dimensions. Maybe I should say in advance that one of the things that perhaps eased the goodbyes in our community was that it was known really quite a bit in advance when I was going to retire. I had, after a series of contracts, I had a 10-year, which is also a 10-year contract, I suppose, but the expectation was after those 10 years would elapse, I would be at retirement age, and it was my clock ticking, and I think the congregation was on some level aware of it, although there was a certain amount of shock, inevitable shock, I suppose, when it finally came down. But what meant was that both from the perspective of the congregation and myself, we had ample time to plan. And in fact, the congregation did, I know this isn't the main topic, but they did a whole really elaborate cheshbon ha-nefesh, really an assessment of the congregation and its needs. And of course, as part of that, what the attributes of a new rabbi would be and what they hoped for. And it was kind of a pre-rabbinic search report. It was absolutely a model of how this could be done. It involved many, many people, focus groups and many individual interviews and surveys, and using almost every tool available to assess the state of the congregation and to look forward to the transition. And I really relished that, and I was part of it too. I had a chance to put add my voice in what I would like to see in the transition. There, people were very, very accommodating just to hear me, although I certainly wasn't a veto power. It was just one voice among many. And then I, let's see, I know some of the questions that Rabbi Schoenberg has, I know we'd go through them, but there were special events in the year. One thing that happened to us, we actually commissioned a new Sefer Torah, and that became really a focal point of the year to receive the Sefer Torah, to have, it was of course a major fundraiser for the shul, but it was also a time really where, time of transitions to be expressed. We had many, many people over to our home where some of the opportunities for the scribe to come and people to add their letters in the Sefer Torah. It brought a lot of people over, and I think it was hard, whatever program we did, not to have the theme of retirement as a sub-theme, at least. And then there was a major event where we had to rent a hall, there were about 1,000 people, where there was a more formal goodbye and presentations. And it was a wonderful time for us, and all my family come in, and it was truly memorable for us. And I had a chance to speak, of course, too, and to express my appreciation what this meant, really living almost my whole career in this community and what it meant to me, which was immense and is immense. And then one thing I mentioned that the search was successful, and a new rabbi, Rabbi David Booth, was hired by the congregation. I was very available both to him and the other candidates, and then I did go away. I had essentially a year of sabbatical in Israel afterwards, and that was of course a very self-conscious choice, and of course encouraged by the congregation to give the new rabbi space. And the one thing I should mention to you is that I have come back. I still live in Palo Alto. My address is still the same as it was for all these years. And what's been very good, I think, really for us, and maybe I don't know, not entirely unknown, of course, but I'm very much, I mean, the goodbye to me wasn't a complete goodbye because I'm still here and very much involved. The new rabbi has welcomed my, we function together a lot. He's going on his first sabbatical for a few months, and I'm helping to stand in again for him. So we have a very good relationship, and we do take this. Yesterday we shared officiating a funeral together. So maybe I should stop here, basically, and I'm happy to respond to any questions, of course.
Thank you, Rabbi. Jane is, I'll mention again, is immediate past co-president of Tiferet Bet Israel in Bluebell, Pennsylvania. Jane, what was your experience from the other side as a lay leader?
We had one particular advantage that I think, like the rabbi who retired, when our rabbi left, he was going not to another congregation, but to JTS. So we weren't dealing with either our rejecting him or his rejecting us for another congregation. So I think that gave us a somewhat easier path. But when he told us he was leaving, the first thing that came to mind for me was what I had heard many years earlier. Rabbi Ackerman had been with us 15 years. When a rabbi left previously, a wiser, older leader had said, the congregation is the community, not the rabbi. Rabbis come and go, and the congregation remains. And that was something that we as leaders kept in mind. And we kept repeating over and over in articles, in speeches, in letters. And we talked about Rabbi Ackerman's leaving in terms of how all the positive things that we had experienced while he was there, and gave ourselves some credit for his ability to go to JTF. We were really conscious of this as a theme that we needed to continue all year long, repeating the congregation is the community. Then in addition, we used the booklet that, and I don't remember the title, that United Synagogue offers on rabbinic transitions.
I believe that that Rabbi Schoenberg wrote from the Rabbinical Assembly,
Yes. And we found that very helpful. In fact, so helpful that I, as a psychologist, have given it to Christian clergy who are struggling with those kinds of transitions. So we really looked at that closely. We also did the careful kind of rabbinic search that was just described. So we were forward-looking. We also had the additional challenge in that Rabbi Ackerman left mid-year to go to his JTS job. We even, as someone said, used cognitive therapy to make that a positive spin, because that forced us to get an interim, which was very helpful in enabling us to complete the successful rabbinic search that we did. Then we had a farewell weekend for Rabbi Ackerman, where we had a Friday night dinner that we were able to raise money for so everyone could come. There was no cost to it. Then we had Shabbat services where the theme was saying goodbye. Rabbi Ackerman had been very involved in Chesed. So then the Sunday of the same weekend, we had a mitzvah day with many activities, with brunch provided by Men's Club and Women's League. Again, just a whole series of community events to say goodbye, to thank him for his service, and to remind people that the congregation continues.
I'm hearing both of you tell a story then about how to say goodbye to the congregation as a whole. Rabbi Lewis, can you talk a little about private goodbyes? Were there any ways that you had to say goodbye to a special group of people or special individuals, and was there a particular way you'd be willing to share?
Well, yes. The word goodbye seems a little bit too strong because I didn't have to really say a full goodbye. Just my role was changing. And I think, at our Shabbat table and gatherings at our home, and just in conversations over after Kiddush on Shabbat and whatever opportunities presented themselves. I mean, I think it was, and it actually continues to be, a subject of conversation, how we've all on all sides managed shifting of roles and relationships. But frankly, I didn't have, maybe because I wasn't really leaving, I didn't have like just a list of people that I just need to contact and to say goodbye to. It just wasn't really necessary. And I think for me, and I hope for many in the congregation, it's been an advantage to have this continuity. So I sit near the back of the sanctuary now most of the time. I found a great comfortable seat with my wife, and I'm still present and greet so many of my old friends, relationships for decades, similarly. And so it hasn't been, I can see in different circumstances, like Rabbi Ackerman's leaving and in other cases of really moving from place to place, it would be a different situation.
Well, Well, let me ask you, Jane, were you aware of any private goodbyes that Rabbi Ackerman had to say to a particular group or individual?
I think that that inevitably creates some difficulty because there were people who were hurt that they didn't get more personal attention than they expected. There were people who didn't understand that he really needed to separate himself. He's continued to live in the community, so we try to do a lot of education about the need to separate. And, you know, there were some more individual goodbyes, but I think the individual goodbyes can become risky because who do you leave in and who do you leave out?
Thank you. And what about then in the opposite direction about individuals who maybe had a difficult relationship or who with the rabbi or who in general are kind of difficult people who kind of give you a problem no matter what? Were there special considerations that you had to give to difficult people? Jane, you can start first.
Well, there were certainly people who blamed us for, quote, letting him leave, end quote, and that somehow it was our failure as leaders that he left. We lost a few congregants, not many at all, but I don't think the difficult people were any more difficult. They were, you know, there's always people who are glad someone leaves. I don't think this created any unique problems in terms of the difficult people.
Rabbi, did you have any different experience than what Jane just described?
Well, you know, in California, we don't have difficult people. over my years, there were people in relationships that were difficult, and there were people who left the congregation, and of course, and I might say that there were watching afterwards, there were some people who rejoined the congregation when the new rabbi came, so it was kind of a recruiting device. But basically, I said to most people, actually, what I'm going to do, I'm getting some feedback. I'm going to just adjust my phone for just one moment.
Hi, I'm back. What I wanted to say is that when we had the public affair, I had a chance to say what was on my mind to address the congregation. And I made a point to speak to people. They may not have been present, but people who perhaps were happier than there was a transition or that had some kind of a history of some tension. And I said to them that when I think back, there were difficult moments in going through these moments, whatever form these conflicts took. But in retrospect, I felt they were really moments of growth for me, that I had to really reach deeper and seek greater wisdom and take counsel with others. And so I really wanted to express appreciation to them too for helping me become who I had become, and of course I always resolved not to treat people any differently, no matter what our personal interaction had been. But I don't think, frankly, it wasn't a major theme or a major obstacle.
Thank you. I'm going to open up to the group. Do you have questions? You can just speak up if you do. Okay, I'm going to take that as, and you can still place the O to me if you wish, but I have other questions, and as your questions come up, you can speak as well. You had to do it over again. Is there anything that you would change, Jane?
One thing we did because he he was leaving mid-year was we arranged with him to come back and still do a few, the bar and bat mitzvahs that were scheduled. And that made his leaving somewhat more gradual. I don't know if that, I think that was probably a good idea, because to tell parents who are having bar and bat mitzvahs later that year that your rabbi, you know, Rabbi Ackerman wasn't going to be here seemed too sudden, but that put Rabbi Ackerman in a kind of he's there, he's not there role. So I don't know if that was a good idea or not. It was unique to our situation.
On the other hand, you could say that a cleaner or clearer break has advantages in the long run than a sort of gradual break.
Right. That's why I'm not sure it was a good idea. I would really have to talk to others who were involved and to the particular families who got to have him come back and do the bar or bat mitzvah if they thought it was worth it. If we had had the rabbi we have now, I think people would have been happy, but we had an interim that people really didn't have a relationship with and not enough time to develop a relationship.
Rabbi Lewis, is there anything you would change?
You know, I've been contemplating this question, and honestly, I don't really think so. I think that it went very well, and you know, perhaps I would have myself found. I'm thinking one of the things I've needed to do and wanted to do since I am in the community, and the downside of that is that there are people who, in a way, don't want, in some deeper level, don't want to let go of me. And here's this very, you know, much younger a version of a rabbi who's now on the Bima, and with all his talents, he's young, and he's often younger than a lot of members of the congregation. And so I've needed to really, and I've wanted to find every opportunity I can to say to people, to thank them for their support, but also to really encourage them to look forward and to embrace the new rabbi and all the special things he's bringing to the community. And I think I did do that along the way. I did, for example, this is after I had left her and I was in Jerusalem, but during the time when he was installed officially in the congregation, I wasn't present, but we had taken time before I left. I had there was a video made, and of me just congratulating the new rabbi and reflecting a little bit about change and encouraging everyone to really support him and embrace him, because it's really not easy to make a new beginning, and maybe particularly after a long tenure of a previous rabbi. So I might have looked for opportunities to do that even more and earlier, but by and large, our process went very well.
Does anyone have any questions at this point? I'm going to let the group speak again. Anyone have a question?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Is there any program for helping rabbis in saying goodbye?
Well, this is Shelley Lewis again. I would say that I actually did depend on my good friend Elliot Schoenberg, and when there were particular issues. So I'm not aware of a formal program, but consulting with him was really good. I think one thing in the Bay Area where I live, in the San Francisco Bay Area, is there were a whole group of us that were around the same place in life, and actually another rabbi in the area who retired exactly the same moment that I did, another one a year later, and others very close. So we had a lot of support with each other. too, in terms of our experiences and how we could say goodbye more successfully. But there wasn't a kind of a formal program that I'm aware of.
I have a question. Everything sounds wonderful. What if you have a rabbi who is not being renewed and he's not happy, and half the congregation is happy and half the congregation is unhappy? How do you transition this situation?
Great question.
I would really focus on, you're still making the decision, or the decision is made?
We have made the decision. We are in the process of negotiating a contract with another rabbi.
I think the focus needs to be on the congregation and the community. And that sometimes families have difficult decisions, and that the goal is to come together for the search and the new rabbi. And I think you need to really acknowledge the pain.
Rabbi Schoenberg, have you seen examples of how that is handled?
You know, sometimes when you ask a doctor what medication you should take, the first thing they tell you is what you shouldn't take. I'm going to use that analogy here. It might appear that if there's an unhappy departure or there are groups that are unhappy, one might not say goodbye, or the rabbi might even refuse to come to the goodbye. It's all about a psychological process, and it's important to still have the congregation, just like Janet said, have a goodbye and have a goodbye process. So by that, for example, maybe the extravaganza Shabbat, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, might be more small scale, and it might only be Shabbat morning. But there still really needs to be a goodbye, and the official leadership of the congregation still needs to publicly say goodbye to the rabbi and acknowledge the contributions. I think the theme is something like this. But even if the rabbi's contract is not renewed, there were accomplishments. There were positive relationships. There are things that need to be acknowledged, and people still need to say goodbye. And the congregational leadership has already done the difficult task, which is not to renew the rabbi's contract, and the rabbi is leaving. For those who had a relationship with the rabbi and have a particularly good relationship with the rabbi, they need their moment and they need their public moment for the congregation to say goodbye. And I love some of those ideas about writing the Torah and mitzvah day. I think activities are great, and I think a gift is important. And it can be small, but some token of appreciation has great symbolic value and acknowledges the relationship between the congregation and the rabbi, and then it's ending. And all of the psychological literature around this commends the fact that there needs to be a ritual that marks a point of end so that you can begin with the new rabbi. And a lot of the research literature about successful transition says that when you have problems with the beginning, it's because there wasn't a successful end. So as difficult as it may be, and as resistant as some people might be, or the rabbi, you still need to make a good faith effort. I think in particular you choose certain people bring this goodbye together. In other words, it's not going to be the four officers of the congregation who voted the rabbi out. Find his loyalists, his fans, find his deep base, and ask them to organize the goodbye, public and private and in different ways, and the rabbi will appreciate that. So I still think that that's harder than some of the situations we've described, all the more important, as Janet said, moving forward, you need to mark a goodbye.
Thank you. Any other questions? I have one about, it's mostly for Jane, is that, you know, when you start the Phoenix search process, Rabbi Lewis, for example, described a large amount of research that was done about the congregation. And my question is, after you are doing something like this, of saying goodbye to the rabbi, did you collect any feedback afterwards? Did you evaluate it or collect any feedback on that part of the process?
I'm going to take it a little while. I can't talk right now.
Collect feedback on which part of the process?
On how the congregation felt about saying goodbye to the rabbi.
We moved pretty much immediately on to the search.
And now, welcoming a new one.
And welcoming a new rabbi. Now, our search process involved a lot of time seeking feedback from all the constituent groups about what we wanted in a rabbi.
Right.
So, in effect, people were repeating what they liked about Rabbi Ackerman and thinking about if there was anything else they wanted. So while we weren't seeking feedback on how we said goodbye, there were lots of opportunities for people to tell us what they wanted
moving forward. Rabbi Lewis, did anything, what was your biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise in leaving? One thing that I might just mention as a particularly meaningful goodbye thing that meant a lot to me, and I suppose had an element of surprise, was the, in addition to the public affair that was really meant a lot to me, there was a book like a memory / tribute book that was put together very lovingly by a group of people, and in which were really several hundred people contributed a letter to me or of some sort, and I must say, of all the things, when I think about 5 years ago and I went through this, the things that just bring back very warm memories and something that I take down for myself, not often but once in a while, helps raise me up is to open this book. So the surprise was just some of the people who contributed that I thought might have had more reservations about the way I served them as a rabbi. Anyway, that was a lasting and very meaningful way to say goodbye to me. And so that's something that I would certainly advocate for others, too.
And this is Jane. We did that as well. And I'm sure it meant a lot to the rabbi who was leaving, but it also was very meaningful to the people who contributed.
And what was your biggest surprise, Jane?
Well, my biggest surprise, frankly, was when I had just come back from Suwam and was ready to be president, and Rabbi Ackerman brought me to the office and said he was leaving mid-year. Because we knew his contract was up and he might be leaving. The mid-year part was what surprised me, and after that, I'll have to say that there were really no big surprises. It was, we came together as a team, the rest of the senior staff came together, and it was a transition with challenges, but no shockers.
Thank you. Any other questions from the group?
Yes, could you list some of the activities in your mitzvah day for the rabbi?
We had people making blankets for people in shelters, making sandwiches to bring to soup kitchens, making dog toys. We have a very active mitzvah program, and I don't remember what else we had at that particular one. But the chair of the mitzvah program was someone who was really close to Rabbi Ackerman, and that had been what was most important, one of the things most important to him as well. But it was all activities on site.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions? Well, then we are close to the time that we said that we would finish. Rabbi Schoenberg, do you have any final thoughts?
I would just like to really reiterate to everyone that the first step in saying goodbye would be to create a transition committee, not as large as the search committee, but there should be some folks in the congregation whose major concern now becomes the transition from the outgoing rabbi to the incoming rabbi. And one of the reasons why the topic today was saying goodbye, because I think there are two separate processes at work but are connected. One is saying goodbye to the outgoing rabbi, and number two is welcoming in the new rabbi. And congregations need to do both. And as Jane has said, the congregation needs to own that process, because those are the folks who are still around. And the way to begin is to actually create a group of people called the Transition Committee to think about what are steps the congregation might take with intention to make this process go well and in a thoughtful way. I would like to thank Elias and the United Synagogue for their participation. This has been Elliot Schoenberg from the Joint Placement Commission, and this has been the Monday on Transition Saying Goodbye to Your Rabbi. Thank you very much, and this concludes our Monday.
Thank you.